The Truth News Network. Getting tired of only spin while looking for just the news? No spin, just truth. Every day on TNN, the Truth News Network. Here's your host, Dan Newman.
Who, oh who, would have thought the political environment in Washington, D.C. could get any juicier? Well, it is. Today, we're talking about Mueller mania. And it starts with a blockbuster. The White House counsel, Donald McGahn, has cooperated extensively in the special counsel investigation, sharing detailed accounts about the episodes at the heart of the inquiry into whether President Trump obstructed justice, including some that investigators would not have learned of otherwise. According to a dozen current and former White House officials and others briefed on the matter, this is a story that was released on Sunday in the New York Times. It continues. In at least three voluntary interviews with investigators that totaled 30 hours over the past 9 months, Mr. McGahn described the president's fury toward the Russia investigation and the ways in which he urged Mr. McGahn to respond to it. He provided the investigators examining whether Mr. Trump obstructed justice a clear view of the president's most intimate moments with his lawyer. Among them were Mr. Trump's comments and actions during the firing of the FBI Director James Comey, and Mr. Trump's obsession with putting a loyalist in charge of the inquiry, including his repeated urging of Attorney General Jeff Sessions to claim oversight of it. Mr. McGahn was also centrally involved in Mr. Trump's attempts to fire the special counsel, Robert Mueller, which investigators might not have discovered without him. For a lawyer to share so much with investigators scrutinizing his client is unusual. Lawyers are rarely so open with investigators, not only because they are advocating on behalf of their clients, but also because their conversations with clients are potentially shielded by attorney-client privilege, and in the case of presidents, executive privilege. This bombshell story was released by the New York Times Sunday, August 19th. Don McGahn, White House counsel, according to this report, has spent 30 hours in private meetings with the Robert Mueller team answering questions about President Trump's actions regarding all those things Mueller is investigating, and only God knows what those things Mueller is investigating include. There are some significant things to note from this occurrence. Listen closely, folks. One, for the counsel to the president to have such conversations, as president, Mr. Trump would have had to waive executive privilege for McGahn to even meet with Mueller. Two, for the counsel to the president to have these conversations, Mr. Trump would have had to waive his right to confidentiality between his attorney and himself, attorney-client privilege. Three, 30 hours. 30 hours. That's 2.5 days of talking. Obviously, this was a long time for a lawyer to meet with prosecutors to discuss anything, especially alleged wrongdoing by the President of the United States, which happened to be that lawyer's client. Certainly, much was discussed. Much was asked of McGahn, and much was answered. Four, I'll stretch way out there with this statement. It is almost certain McGahn's discussions yielded absolutely nothing in the way of implicating President Trump on collusion, which in itself is not a crime, or obstruction of justice. In fact, buried at the bottom of the New York Times story is this statement. Listen closely. Way down at the bottom, only the New York Times and the Washington Post will do this. After all of those allegations made and the shadow cast in the top two-thirds of the article, this line appears. Quote, Mr. McGahn cautioned two investigators that he never saw Mr. Trump go beyond his legal authorities. And then they put a comma with the tag, and this is the tag. though the limits of executive power are murky. In other words, Mr. McGahn said President Trump didn't do anything outside of his legal authority. And then the New York Times said, but the limits of executive powers are murky, which in journalistic speak means the limits of executive power are subject to interpretation. Wow. Now, let's segue right into something very significant. You know, we haven't heard anything from Robert Mueller himself. I've wondered through the last year plus why that could be. And of course, when I ask the question, I'm told by journalist, and that word I put in quotation marks, that he's a prosecutor. He can't talk about a case that's pending, especially he can't go to the press. Well, the press. Let's talk about the press talking about the Mueller special counsel investigation. And Mueller's not talking to anybody, right? Okay. How about leaks? How about Mueller investigative team leaks? June 3rd, 2017, the Associated Press revealed Mueller's team had taken over a criminal probe of former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort. July 22nd, 2017, two sources claiming direct knowledge told Reuters Mueller's investigations were hoping to find evidence of money laundering or other financial crimes to pressure Manafort to cooperate in the collusion probe. August 3rd, 2017, citing people familiar with the matter, the Wall Street Journal reported a grand jury had been impaneled by Mueller. White House attorney Ty Cobb said at the time he was unaware of the grand jury's existence. 6 days later, August 9th, the Washington Post reported FBI agents conducted a pre-dawn raid of Manafort's Virginia home on July 26 to seize documents and other materials related to Mueller's investigation. According to the Post, people familiar with the search said a warrant sought financial records and the evidence collected included binders Manafort had prepared for his congressional testimony. August 24th, a source close to the investigation provided Fox News with new details of the raid of Manafort's home and claimed it was, quote, heavy-handed, designed to intimidate. The next day, August 25th, people familiar with the matter informed the Wall Street Journal that Mueller was investigating Flynn's involvement in a private effort to obtain Hillary Clinton's email from Russian hackers. 3 days later, August 28th, according to NBC News, three sources said Mueller's investigators were focused on Trump's role in writing a response to media reports about a meeting between campaign officials and Russians at Trump Tower in June of 2016. September 1st, the Washington Post reported Mueller's investigators had a copy of a draft letter prepared by Trump aide Stephen Miller to justify the firing of Comey in May of 2017. September 20th, we're still in 2017, folks. Emails reportedly turned over to Mueller's team and Senate investigators leaked to the Washington Post revealed that Manafort offered to provide private briefings to a Russian billionaire with ties to the Kremlin during the 2016 campaign. October 4th, Reuters cited three sources familiar with the investigation, saying that Mueller's team had taken over the FBI's inquiries into a dossier of allegations regarding Trump's Russia ties compiled by former British spy Christopher Steele. Two officials also reportedly told Reuters Mueller was looking into whether Manafort or others helped the Kremlin target hacking efforts and social media posts to influence the election. 3 weeks later, October 27, sources briefed on the matter told CNN that the first charges in Mueller's investigation had been filed under seal. The following Monday, charges were unsealed. Manafort and campaign aide Robert Gates, as well as a guilty plea by former advisor George Papadopoulos. 1 week later, November 5th, NBC News reported multiple sources said Mueller had enough evidence to bring charges against Flynn and his son. According to NBC, the FBI was also investigating a possible effort by Flynn to extradite a Muslim cleric in the U.S. whom Turkish President Erdogan blamed for a coup attempt. November 16th, the Wall Street Journal cited a person familiar with the matter, reporting that Mueller's team had subpoenaed Russia-related documents from Trump's campaign, including documents and emails were written by several campaign officials. December 2nd, multiple people familiar with the matter told the Washington Post that former top counterintelligence official Peter Strzok was removed from Mueller's team because of anti-Trump texts between him and an FBI attorney with whom he was having an affair. Details of many of those texts, which were under investigation by the DOJ Inspector General's office, have since been leaked to various media outlets. Let's turn the calendar page over to this year, 2018, on January 2nd. A source detailed the physical characteristics, clothing, race, and gender of grand jury members to the New York Post and alleged that the grand jury room, quote, looks like a Bernie Sanders rally. What does that mean? What does a Bernie Sanders rally look like as being different from a Barack Obama rally? On February 17th, and don't say it's because there were no African Americans at a Bernie Sanders rally, because there are. February 17th, 2018, CNN cited anonymous sources stating that Gates was close to negotiating a plea deal with Mueller, and that new charges against Manafort were being prepared. Less than a week later, Gates entered a guilty plea to conspiracy and lying to the FBI, and a superseding indictment was filed against Manafort. February 27th, CNN reported that three people familiar with the matter said Mueller had recently questioned witnesses about Trump's business activities in Russia and negotiations surrounding a potential Trump tower in Moscow. The next day, February 28th. An unnamed former Trump campaign aide told CNN Mueller's team asked about comments former White House communications director Hope Hicks made during her interview with investigators about possible contacts between the campaign and Russian operatives. March 2nd, witnesses and others familiar with the investigation reportedly told NBC News Mueller's team was asking questions about Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner's business ties. The following week, NBC cited sources familiar with the matter, saying Qatar officials withheld damaging information about the United Arab Emirates' influence on Kushner from Mueller. The next day, March 3rd, according to the New York Times, Mueller was looking into attempts by the United Arab Emirates to buy political influence on Trump and the role of Lebanese-American businessman George Nader. The next day, March 4th, Axios obtained a copy of a subpoena sent to a former Trump campaign official by Mueller's team. Sam Nunberg later confirmed he was the source and spoke extensively to the media about the investigation. Have you noticed one thing, folks? Through all of these examples of leaks, this is the first time a source of the leaks has been identified. Most of the leaks came through CNN, The Washington Post, and The New York Times. This one came through Axios. They actually named a source. Coincidence? You decide. March 7th, people familiar with the matter told the Washington Post Mueller had evidence from a cooperating witness that a secret meeting in Seychelles Islands between a Trump ally and a Russian official prior to the inauguration was an attempt to establish a back channel between the administration and the Kremlin. March 15th, The New York Times reported that Mueller had subpoenaed documents from the Trump Organization. April 9th, The New York Times learned federal investigators had raided Trump attorney Michael Cohen's office and hotel room. Hours later, sources told The Washington Post Cohen was under investigation for possible bank fraud and campaign finance violations. April 30th, The New York Times obtained a list of questions Mueller wanted to ask Trump. That's interesting, isn't it? 49 questions, and it just so happened the New York Times got a hold of it. According to the Times, the list was prepared by Trump's attorneys after speaking to investigators, but it was not given to reporters by Trump's legal team. So I wonder who leaked it. March 9th, 2018. This from Politico. Special Counsel Robert Mueller and his prosecutors aren't talking to the media, But still, the leaks keep coming. In the past 2 weeks, anonymously sourced news reports have said the top federal Russia investigator is preparing to indict Russians for hacking Democratic emails in 2016, focusing on why one of President Trump's longtime lawyers was in talks about a Moscow real estate deal during the campaign, asking questions about Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner's business dealings, and probing whether the United Arab Emirates improperly sought to influence Trump White House policy. Oh, by the way, former federal prosecutor Seth Waxman has seen no evidence that these leaks, often sourced to people familiar with the investigation or briefed on it, have come directly from Mueller or his staff. When Mueller has spoken publicly, it has been through criminal complaints and indictments. Now, this list includes Mueller leaks only through April 30th of 2018. How many others are there out there, and how many more will there be? Let me just say this. If Mueller's team is not responsible for these leaks, what it tells you is that the Mueller team, led by Robert Mueller, who's supposed to be Mr. Perfect in the eyes of the legal profession in the United States, is horrible at taking care of an investigation of the President of the United States. What is Mueller's objective, and how do leaks play into his objective? We're going to talk about that in just a second. We're going to wrap this up, folks, with a bombshell announcement. Sit tight. Right back at the Truth News Network.
We're here asking people from all over what they think of Lipton green tea. Let's hear what people from Texas have to say.
Mm-mm.
How about China?
Mmm.
Germany?
Mmm.
How about people from the North Pole?
Mmm.
Or Mars?
Mmm.
What about mimes? Oh, right. People with their jaws wired shut?
Oh.
Yeah, a barbershop quartet.
Mmm.
Mmm. Oh, you guys are great. How about race car drivers?
Mmm.
Mmm. Yeah, what about you, high school glee club, here on a field trip?
Mmm.
Mmm. Well, that settles it. It sounds like everyone loves the taste of Lipton green tea. With its protective antioxidants from real tea, it's not just good for you, it's mmm to you. Lipton tea can do that.
George Orwell said freedom is the right to tell someone what they don't want to hear. Today, that's called the truth. At truthnewsnet.org. Here's Dan Newman.
And boy, is that line appropriate to our topic today. Robert Mueller, and we're calling it Mueller Mania. And it is getting wild and woolly in Washington, D.C. as the investigation continues and all kinds of things are hitting the news media. How much of it's true? How much of it is not true? How much came from the Mueller team? How much of it came from other sources? We just do not know. We can't rely on anything we're hearing, folks. And that's a sad state of affairs for the media and the United States to be so jaded and so biased that it becomes so obvious to Americans that at least 90% of today's media is in the tank for anything and everything that's anti-Trump. So what's really going on with the Mueller probe? Let me just say this. I have an informed evidence conclusion that I've drawn from this and other evidence surrounding the Mueller investigation. And there's a lot that we don't hear about publicly and some little golden nuggets that I've been able to get my arms around. It's pretty exhaustive and detailed. For the sake of time, here's what we're going to do. We're going to wait until tomorrow to have that entire discussion. There are enough important details in this explanation that we need to lay it all out in chronological order and with complete details. And I don't want to take it in a short period of time. I want to make sure that it's clear and you understand. It is mixed opinion with evidence. And as we always do at the Truth News Network, when we give you anything like that, we make it very clear to you what is opinion and what is factual. and we're going to do all that tomorrow. Rest assured of this one thing. There is a master plan with a sinister undergirding in the Robert Mueller probe. Many circumstances of this investigation are too stark and too related to things outside of the actual investigation to simply be random. This entire chapter of the Trump presidency was planned and was planned in advance, and it's orchestrated. I said it, it's orchestrated. Am I saying there's a conspiracy? You want to find out? Join us tomorrow. Who, how, and what? Find out tomorrow, right here on the Truth News Network. Thank you so much for joining us every day. I hate to leave you hanging, but we want to do this right. We want to give you facts and details and evidence, and we'll do that tomorrow. Tell your friends, tell your family members. You'll be back tomorrow and every day at the Truth News Network.
Facts and evidence is all you'll see and hear on TNN, the Truth News Network. Find it exclusively at truthnewsnet.org.